think a lot of us are really conscious of the effect we have on the environment and our day-to-day life. But when it comes to travel plans, it's not always the first thing you might think about. Larry Mueller here, glad to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Visiting today with Liz Wessel. She is the owner of Green Concierge Travel. It's a Wisconsin-based green-focused travel company. She also works with the Partnership for the National Trail System. Liz helps businesses and leisure travels create kind of a unique travel itinerary that minimizes the environmental footprint. Maybe you have experienced eco-travel. Maybe you have some questions about it. I hope you'll join in. Love to hear your experiences. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. And we'd love to hear from you. So join on in. And Liz Wessel, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry, for having me.
Let's talk about sustainable, green, and eco-travel from a sort of a definition. How do you see that?
It's pretty well accepted out there, but there are three main principles for eco-travel or sustainable travel. One, obviously reducing your impact on the environment to the extent that you can. Two, protecting and respecting the natural and the cultural environment of the destinations that you go to. And three is putting your money into the local economy. So trying to support local businesses, local hotels, finding vendors that employ local people as guides. Those are all ways to keep your money in that destination and support its economy.
And, you know, you think, here's the UN designating 2017 as the International Year of Sustainable Travel. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, I think they're seeing a bump in travel right now after the recession that happened. And a lot more people are getting out. And travel can be a source of good, or it can mm-hmm. also be a problem in destinations. And I think what they want to do is give it a push towards the side of the good. And the UN would like to see more money put into the local economies. We'd like to protect those natural resources and wonders that are out there, not see them disappear. And also, it's a way for locals to keep special places intact if they mm-hmm. think carefully about it when visitors come.
Yeah, you think about the strong dollar. I had an air travel show on the other day. Air travel to Europe, for example, is cheapest it's practically ever been.
That's right.
So you're likely to be a lot of people from here going somewhere else.
Yeah, we tend to be strong travelers, U.S., but unfortunately, eco-travel isn't a common word in the United States yet. Very strong in Europe. There are special country programs in Costa Rica. So some people may have been exposed when they go to a place like Costa Rica, which actually has a national program. Mexico also has a very strong program in eco-travel that comes from the government. So
yeah, and of course, your business is zeroes in on this. I'm wondering about all the mainstream travel businesses. Are they getting into this trend at all, or
a little bit? I mean, I was thinking that individuals. You started off by saying, you know, we all think about the environment when we're, you mm-hmm. know, in our homes and going about our daily business. For those of us that do that, well, in fact, in the United States, there's a lot of infrastructure for eco-travel, but we just don't bring it together and sell it as eco-travel here. So I think whether you're going abroad or even here in the United States, it's all possible, but you just need to be putting it together. And that's what I do for people.
Yeah, you got started in 2005, and how did you get interested in it to begin with?
Well, I was doing some marketing research for a group called the Biodiversity Project, and they were trying to figure out who were the best people to reach out to who were already with them understanding why biodiversity is so important and special and needs to be taken care of. And in that research, that's where I kind of came across eco-travel and eco-tourism, which was already going on strongly in certain areas of the world. And so then we figured out that was a good market. And I said, you know, I like to travel. I'm into environmental stuff, and this seems like a really good thing for me. So,
and it's been doing well?
It was slow during the recession.
So yeah.
Everything was slow.
Everything was slow, but picking up.
Yes.
Well, good on you for that. What kind, maybe you can give us some more examples or talk about the effects that this type of travel might have on the environment that you're visiting.
Well, one of the areas I've seen a real uptick in, and it's not surprising, is farm to table. And you think about here in Wisconsin, how aware we are now of we can get food from farmers in Wisconsin. Well, travel has become a big thing to do farm to table. So people are going to destinations either here in the United States or Italy is a great example where they come to a community, they're staying maybe at a local inn or something, but then they're actually taking a cooking course. So they're meeting local chefs. They may be going out and foraging. There's a program where you can go out and look for truffles in the morning and then go to the market, buy some ingredients, learn how to prepare food with an Italian chef. And the impact is people are really experiencing the culture of a place they're visiting. So you're not just superficially getting into it. You're actually diving into that, you know, bowl of pasta or whatever it is and learning how it was made and where all the ingredients come from.
So that could be a lot of fun, I would think.
I think it sounds like a whole lot of fun. And it's not just adults. I mean, I recently found a program in Mexico where it's called the Mini Mayan Program for Kids. It's at one of the chain of hotels in Mexico where the kids actually are introduced to the culture of Mexico in that area, the Mayans, and they do cooking one day, they might do some art projects, they do some cultural things another day. Mm-hmm. So they're beginning to recognize that this is not just for adults, but for everybody.
In English?
Yeah. Well, and they do some language immersion as well.
So that can be a lot of fun. Talking today with Liz Wessel, owner of Green Concierge Travel, a Wisconsin-based green-focused travel company. Give you a chance to join in now. If you have a question or comment, or maybe you've experienced a sustainable trip, love to hear about your experiences there. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. What about cost? Is green travel, does it cost a whole lot more to do it that way?
I think it's like any other type of travel. What I tell my clients, and most of them are doing independent type trips, is that you set a budget and you work with your budget, and the decisions that you make, accommodations, how you travel, can all impact that budget. So it doesn't necessarily cost any more. There are those luxury, just like in any other luxury eco lodges that are out there. You can have it, you know, fully catered, all inclusive, or you can do things like take the Alaska Marine Highway on the Inside Passage, and it's much cheaper, and you get a real experience and get off at the different stops along the way up the Inside Passage and stay in the towns. And so it can be both.
Sort of like on a bus tour, something like that, for that Alaska trip?
The Alaska Marine Highway is the local ferry system that runs. It serves both the residents, but also people who want to just travel up through Alaska's Inside Passage between the cities.
And so your position here is to sort of connect people to those places.
Some options, yeah. I'm a big train traveler, so when my clients go to Europe, I definitely try and get them on the trains because, A, you meet local people, you see more, you see the countryside, you experience more, and it's just a great way to travel there. And it's cleaner.
Yeah. What areas of the world seem to have the most eco-travel opportunities?
Definitely, you'd have to immediately think of South America and Central America. because of the rainforest areas, I think there was an immediate, Costa Rica is by far a leader in what's going on. They recognize that they could develop tourism, but develop it responsibly, and so they jumped all in. Australia also has a strong ecotourism program, and a lot of that, again, relates to their very unique environments that are there, just a wide range of different terrains and places that you can visit.
That perked my interest when you said Australia, because I was thinking, what would I do in Australia on an eco-friendly tour?
Well, I actually did visit there, and one of the things we did, and this is another element that I think is so cool, is living like a local.
Mm-hmm.
I took my kids to Australia, and I would recommend this for anyone, which is we did what's called a station stay, it's a farm stay. You actually live on a farm with a family, and they are your hosts. And so my kids got to experience horseback riding. They had a kangaroo for a pet. We had a barbecue off the back of a pickup truck with the neighbor next door, who was, mm-hmm. 20 kilometers away or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a real experience. They watched the kids go to school on two-way radio. It was a real experience for them. So that was a really great element. The other thing we did was we took the train all around Australia to the places we went. So we got to see a lot of the countryside and meet real Australians, because we were there in the non-tourist time. We were there in the winter. So it was Australians visiting Australia.
And so what's it like in the winter in Australia? Is it cold?
There were definitely, when we went to Ayers Rock or Uluru, it was really cold that morning. People were not prepared. but we did get out, and luckily I had brought some gloves and hats and stuff. But, there were a lot of people who were not ready for that.
I would think. But that could be a kind of an expensive trip.
And we could talk about the barrier reef there. It's not a great time. The water was really rough. We visited Cairns, and that was one of our goals, was to get there. And it was really rough, so it took a while and cold. But, that's one of those crises that people are traveling, because the barrier reef is threatened now from climate change. And so people want to get to these destinations and see them. And so the key here is do it in the most responsible way you can. Don't walk on the coral reefs, wherever they are, Hawaii or Australia.
Or wherever. Yeah, absolutely. Liz Wessel, our guest today, we're talking with her about sustainable travel. She owns Green Concierge Travel, a Wisconsin-based green-focused travel company. Join in, 800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Some folks calling in now. You can call in, too, with your own question or comment, or maybe you've got an experience to share about sustainable travel. I hope you'll join us. 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. For your clients, what are some of the most popular destinations, Liz?
I would definitely say that Alaska has been on people's trip list. Done several multiple trips to Alaska for sure. Europe, different parts, and then different places in the United States. Florida Keys and the Everglades are very popular as well.
So kind of a range of places, pretty much anywhere, not much in Asia.
I don't book a lot of Asia. I did just do a few people going to Japan, and it was a really fun trip to organize, and they have a great train system, so I enjoyed learning about that, which they did use, and so that was very fun. And they stayed at the classic local ryokans, which are like inns or local bed and breakfasts, and they where you sleep on the floor and you sleep Japanese style, and they really immerse themselves in that culture. And I think they wrote me a fantastic letter, just saying how much fun they had learning about Japan and how different it was. And
that's really cool. Jane in Duluth, Minnesota has something for us. Hi, Jane. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for your great show. I love listening to your show, and I listen to WPR constantly. I just wanted to pass on a travel tip. I'm no longer able to travel much, but when I, about 22 years ago, I moved out to southwestern New Mexico, to the southwest, and I lived in Santa Fe for many years. And I just want to tell the your guest to, if she doesn't know about it, to support this, sending people for this mid-July event called the International Folk Art Festival in Santa Fe. It's sponsored by the International Museum of Folk Art there. And they are a UNESCO, designated UNESCO Folk Art City, by the way. And you can volunteer there and go there. And what this program does is bring indigenous artists from all over the world to learn entrepreneurial skills, sell their wares at a living wage, and then they go back and they're able to keep their co-ops and villages, financially alive and thriving, sustainable, I would call it, because they get the support from the art festival. They pay 90% of their expenses the first year. They're able to sell these wares on this three-day event. And it's just marvelous. It's a way to go see the world without having to leave New Mexico.
It's
a very sustainable, and I used to volunteer there. And one of the things they do is no water bottles. You either bring your own and we fill them for free with filtered cool water, or you buy one there for $5, $6, and it supports the festival. And so we don't have the bottle water bottle problem, because as you know, New Mexico is hot, very dry.
Absolutely. Well, that's really interesting, Jane. Liz, a comment?
I think that's a wonderful example of finding a destination that is not only really fun to go to, but you have this wonderful art festival going on, and you're supporting so many different people doing that. And it just, your comment immediately reminded me of all those opportunities that we have, like the Memphis Folk Art Festival that happens, and going to see, so many of us love to go to outdoor music festivals, and to go to another community, find that outdoor music festival, and you're supporting the musicians and the local people. So great, great suggestion.
Yeah. Thank you, Jane.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Becca emailed in to say her family is thinking of going to Eastern Canada in July. So Eastern Canada. Do you have recommendations for places to stay that are eco-travel friendly?
I can't list them off the top of my head, but I have, in fact, I was just looking into Eastern Canada for someone else, and they were doing a train trip out there. So there are definitely ways to find these places. And I actually had a couple of resources, and I'm not sure how many would be on for Canada, but I would look at the International Ecotourism Society's website to look for members who might be in that area that you're intending to travel to.
And the title of that is?
It's the International Ecotourism Society.
Okay.
I'm a member. It includes vendors, sellers of travel, but it also includes travelers, and it's international. And there was an attempt to have a North American society, and that, I'm not sure what happened, but anyway, there's still a list of, you can go on their website and find people who are subscribers, and you should be able to find some people in that area. The other thing to do is look for if you're looking at hotels, look for a hotel chain that has a policy, a green policy. Many of them do. Many of our big hotel chains actually are beginning to think about sustainability and have pretty good policies on that. So that's another way to look for them. Or you can always contact Green Concierge Travel, and I can help you with that.
Sure, sure. And when you think about a hotel and green sustainable hotel, what would people expect to experience at a hotel like
well,
that?
Well, in a large scale hotel, you would be thinking about, they're very obvious things: energy efficiency policy. How often do they change the sheets, their laundering services? The woman just mentioned, our previous caller mentioned the water bottles. Do they have reusable kinds of things in your room so you're not throwing away paper cups and all that kind of stuff? Some of the bigger ones are beginning to switch their pool chemicals away from chlorine, which has a lot of issues. They're using some greener ways of keeping the pool clean, ozone and some other types of technologies. So it's easier with a big place. I look for smaller places, too, and you can be green just by picking a place that's locally owned, like a bed and breakfast, lots of places like that. And I love support, and a lot of bed and breakfast owners have gone green. They put solar panels up. They're using different types of energy. They're offering all sorts of kind of, you get a local breakfast. I love them because you get a host and a guide to the local area all built into one. So, and your money is definitely staying in the local economy when you use a bed and breakfast.
Yeah, I've done that many times myself, and it's always nice because those people, they're always so friendly. The food is always really great.
Right.
And they know a lot, obviously, about the area, so you get a lot of insider information that
right.
you can use.
Yeah, and there's plenty in the cities. I'm thinking if you're going into Eastern Canada and you're going into some of the more rural areas, there's some great lodges. So kind of a different setting, but a lodge, again, is probably locally owned. Many of them are there because they care about the area around them, and they're stewards. You're looking for someone who's a steward of the forest area or the rivers that you're or lakes that you may be visiting. So
yeah, sounds great. Fran in Delafield has something for us. Hi, Fran. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. Well, I have been doing some traveling through an organization called Earthwatch, earthwatch.org. Are you familiar at all with Earthwatch?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think it's fabulous. What they do is it's a nonprofit. It's an umbrella organization that provides volunteer opportunities to do volunteering with legitimate scientific research all over the world in the area of climate change, oceanography, wildlife. It's great. I've done two trips with them. One in July gave me the opportunity to spend 10 days hiking to the top of the Pyrenees with people from Germany and Singapore and the States, the wildlife researchers collecting data on small mammals and tree growth and birds and on. It was fabulous. Plus, we ate wonderful. We stayed in Andorra in a small hotel, eating beautiful food, drinking great wine. There's always one day incorporated where it's sort of a sightseeing thing. And then I spent 2 weeks in Chuchului in Pomozi, which is the oldest game reserve on the African continent, very, very large, and for 2 weeks, I got to walk through the bush from dawn until noon, accompanied by just one ranger with a big gun by foot. It was absolutely amazing. You do have to be in reasonable shape. You have to be able to get yourself into a tree if needed, which I did have to do. But, you know, I'm 68, and I was able to do that, so it's, you know, it's possible. That opportunity is only every other year. And you're helping to collect data on herbivores. They do a census every other year in this particular park on the herbivores in the park. But it's amazing. I got within 5 meters of a sleeping leopard, within 20 meters of lions, and a fabulous opportunity. So I would recommend to people that they look at Earthwatch.
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling, and you're familiar with Earthwatch, Liz.
Yeah, volunteerism is it's a really big component of where people are thinking, and it's almost a corollary to that, the idea of putting your money in the local economy. This is, the corollary is give back, and give back to the local community, and you can do that through volunteering for a project, and I actually... You don't even need to be on a formal program like that one. You could go to a destination and find a way to be involved in a local project, whether it's a cleanup or it's protecting sea turtles who are nesting, or there are many ways you can do that. And I think your experience will be enriched by it. And then the other way people can do a give back if you don't have the time or you can't find a project is find an organization that's a steward for the place that you're visiting. So, for example, if you're visiting Walden Pond, there's a little box nearby that you can drop some money in But that helps that local organization that protects Walden Pond and keeps it clean and available to all of us. So easy way to go. It's called Travel Philanthropy. In Alaska, you might pick a group that's working, you know, working to protect the Kenai or the National Forests or whatever. But think about the people who are there who protect that area that you're coming to visit.
Yeah. Thanks again, Fran, for calling. Appreciate it. What talk a little bit about the service you provide in this concierge service, the detail that you might go into for clients.
Well, I did think carefully about it, because what I wanted when I travel is not just, you know, how do I get there, the plane, train, bus, you mm-hmm. know, whatever, but I wanted to know what to do when I get there or where to go to eat. And that's the concierge part, which is I'm really interested in helping people find walking tours. For example, one of my suggestions, if you're going to a new place, like an urban area, take a walking tour with a guide first, and then you figure out a lot about the destination that you're visiting. And then the rest of your days, you can spend time going in more depth into some of those places. So the concierge idea is really helping people fill in those details that will really make their experience unique when they visit.
I was thinking about a trip that I took to Gettysburg, and the first day that I was there, I in advance had hired a guide, and the guide took us through, you know, the whole area and the battlefields and such, and it was so much, such a wonderful way to begin, because you really, you're going to someplace, and well, I'd read a lot about Gettysburg, but I really appreciated and got a lot out of that first half day that I had with that guide.
Yeah, it's like an orientation.
Yeah. And then we were able to go back and go to right. those places again throughout right. the rest of the week.
Well, it's interesting. When there's a series of books called The Ultimate Blank Guidebook for the Hawaiian Islands, so The Ultimate Kauai Guidebook. I don't think it's a secret anymore. I think people know about them, but they're written by locals for each island, and they are truly an orientation plus that detailed information from everywhere, where to hike, who to get a kayak from, you know, what's the best place to eat, you know, whatever you're looking for, the best beaches, the guides to the beaches and how to get access to them, the trails. It's just a wonderful series. So if you're thinking about going to Hawaii and you want a concierge, this is your pocket concierge.
There you go. Well, Chris in Polk County emailed in to say that he recommends checking out whitewater rafting on the Chattooga River. It's on the border of South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. Lots of opportunities for canopy tours, zip lines, hiking, biking, camping. Have you done those kinds of, you may not have done anything on that particular river, Chattooga, but.
I actually had someone ask me a question about the Chattooga and just did a little bit of looking around. They were looking for a whitewater rafting vendor who was reputable. And so there, you definitely need to check reputable in the sense that not only were they good with rafting, but that they were concerned about the environment and were thinking about what they did when they were on the water. One company I can definitely recommend who does both water experiences but also adventure is Oars. It's called OARS. They have been one of the leaders in North America, and they also go abroad as well for rafting experiences. And they have a whole sustainable policy on their website. They subscribe to Leave No Trace, which is a concept of when you're out in the wilderness or out in the environment, that you, when you pick up and leave, theoretically, no one can tell that you've been there because you're so careful about your waste, your footprint, basically, that nothing's left behind. But wonderful, wonderful company that does. And I have sent some people on their trips, and they've all loved them. And in fact, I want That's on my bucket list.
You want to do it?
Well, I want to do the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. Haven't gotten there yet, but they would be one of the companies I would look at because I know their service is impeccable and they really care about the environment and put their money where their mouth is.
Liz Wessel, our guest today, owner of Green Concierge Travel, a Wisconsin-based green-focused travel company. You can join in, too. Maybe you've got a question or a suggestion or an experience to share at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Travel ideas you have for a family, let's say we're going to coming up, summer's coming. It'll be here before we know it. I know most families that I know are hot on planning their summer travel. What travel ideas do you have?
Well, it's funny because when I just finished talking about the rafting, it suddenly occurred to me I should also give a nod to the Sierra Club Outings program. Sierra Club Outings are not just for adults, and they have some fabulous family trips. You get a discount if you're a member, but I was recalling a family rafting trip down in the southwestern part of the country, and it was amazing. I mean, they took care of all the kids, and there's a bunch of kids on the trip, so they mm-hmm. all socialize together. The guides take care of the kids. The adults get to finish every evening on your chair that you brought with you with a glass of wine, and they cook dinner for you. And, you know, that's not true for all of their trips, but they do offer a wide range of family-oriented trips, so that's a really good idea. And then there's some other places, you know, if you want to introduce your kids to camping, there are very different ways to do that. So you could do an organized camp or, you know, actually take them out to a state park nearby. And the one other thought I really need to give a nod to is we have the best ranching. Dude ranches are just a fabulous family experience, and they're really set up to take kids of all ages with. And it's a all-inclusive experience generally. They are now offering all sorts of activities, not just riding and fishing, but it could be everything from disc golf to, you know, whatever's current, mountain biking, hiking, disc golf. I mean, it's amazing what they're offering. So the Dude Ranching Association really is a good place to start for a family vacation.
Are there companies, or I should say businesses in Wisconsin that are set up along those similar lines?
We definitely have Dude Ranches in Wisconsin.
We do.
We do. And I'm trying to think of camping where I'm sure there's some probably really good thoughts about a camping place, but
not coming to mind at the
minute. Not coming to mind right now. I mean, obviously our state parks are definitely a place to go and start with.
Let's go to Perry in Appleton next. Hi, Perry. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment on the Oars Expedition group. We took our kids on an adult-only adventure last summer. We went down the Green River through the Gates of Lador. And one of the reasons that we chose the Oars Company was for what you had mentioned regarding their leaving their footprint or no footprint once you leave. And, boy, they sure lived up to that expectation. It was amazing. We had salmon one night with wine. We had steaks. They treated us like kings and queens, and even though you were camping and you were outdoors in this beautiful environment, you felt like you were staying at the Ritz-Carlton. It was amazing.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, Perry.
Yeah, I highly recommend the trip. It was just, like I said, it was an adult-only trip, so we didn't have the children, but I'm sure that we saw many groups going down the river that had kids as part of their group, and they looked like they were just having a great time. So I would highly recommend that group for travel.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thank you for calling. Comment, Liz?
Yeah, it reminds me that there was a group of, they put the kids all on one boat, and they called it the Princess Barge because there were a lot of young ladies on the trip that we were on. I wanted to go back to Wisconsin because I would be remiss if I didn't mention that in Wisconsin, what we can you can use to look for green travel options is we do have a green travel program here called Travel Green Wisconsin, and it does vendors, you know, lodges, inns apply to be part of that program, and so you can look up places that you might want to support or, you know, go to on that list. So Travel Green Wisconsin.
So we'll post those. Jill, can you post that up on our Facebook page? Jill's going to post that up. Green Travel Wisconsin. That's
Travel Green Wisconsin.
Travel Green Wisconsin.
Pretty sure that's the going title.
All right.
And thank you, my call.
Yeah, thanks, Perry, for calling. Yeah. Appreciate your call. Well, I have a daughter whose favorite animal is the manatee. I've been thinking about a trip that might involve manatees. So I'll put you on the spot here. Are there any places that we can go in that fashion to see manatees?
You can. And I just had a friend who did that. I'm laughing because I use my passwords that I use in different computers and places I go. My current one is dugong, which is the genus for manatee, because she had such a fun time. She was in Florida and she did a kayaking trip where she was able to kayak with the manatees. And so, it's definitely possible. But again, it's that relationship, just like whale watching. You're not supposed to chase after the animal. Yeah. I mean, so it's up to us to learn some of these things, like don't walk on the coral, don't pursue marine mammals, let them come to you out of their natural curiosity. Again, it's up to us to act on those things and get other people, you know, involved in making that happen.
Well, Liz, this has been fun. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. And I think we have your site up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show.
Hopefully it's my Facebook page.
We will.
My website was hacked a little while ago, and we're still working on getting it back together. So.
Oh, no. So we'll put you up on, we'll put your Facebook page
Facebook
up for sure.
Facebook would be better.
Okay, Liz, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Liz Wessel, owner of Green Concierge Travel. It's a Wisconsin-based green-focused travel company. It was fun hearing about the ways that we can travel sustainably. And sometimes the weather comes into play, and you know what? That's what we're going to talk about next. We visit with our weather guys, John Martin and Steve Ackerman, next on the Ideas Network.